Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply. I want
you back. Sing it here.
Nah, I'm not singing it. I'm not a fan. I much respect for Elliot and him being back in the city. But nah, this ain't.
Well, how about the words? I want you back. We want Hassan Reddick back in Philadelphia. Well, we need a pass rusher because the $51 million guy, he's behind Brandon Graham on the depth chart. Welcome back. It's the Midday Show. Hugh Douglas, Joe Gillette joining us right now to talk about all this after a week one victory, but a lot of questions after that. Is Elliot Shore Parks. His call in brought to you by Cozy Jewelers. Step up to the fifth C. That's color, cut, clarity, carrot, and cozy. Elliot, how are we doing today?
Man, I know Hugh's not going to sing it, but I know you were feeling that one, right? Like, that's a good one.
It's a club banger.
Yeah, it's a good one.
I'll give you a club banger.
Yeah, exactly. Sets the mood for the call. I'm excited to be back. Excited to be back talking to you guys.
Yeah, excited to have you on because that means we're officially in the throes of the season now, Elliot. We'll circle back to the game itself, but we got to talk about what just happened a little while ago. Vic Fangio speaking, and a couple days ago, Elliot, when Sirianni spoke, he kind of gave off the feeling that Bryce Huff's snap count on Friday night was more of a product of the flow of the game. Well, Vic Fangio made it clear that's not the case. He's got to rise above the other guys, which he hasn't, I guess, because he was behind Brandon Graham in snap counts on Friday. Ellie, what do you make all this?
Yeah, there's so many ways to look at this. I think there's two ways, one from the team perspective and then one from Bryce Huff's perspective. From the team perspective, on a certain hand, you have to admire the fact they're playing the best players. Bryce Huff got paid $34 million guaranteed, and that's not giving him snaps. A lot of times in the NFL, which is a business, you pay a guy that kind of money, he's going to be out there week one for better or worse until he really, over a prolonged stretch, proves he can't play. But so on one hand, I get it. But from Bryce's perspective, and this is probably where I fall on it, you signed the guy the first day of free agency. You give him $34 million guaranteed. You clearly liked him enough to think that he could be an impact player for you. To me, it feels a little overreactionary to not play him a lot of snaps in week one and give him an opportunity to be the guy that you thought that he could be. So clearly, Vic Fangio doesn't feel he's ready. He's not shy in saying that. And, it's 1 week. There's a lot of time for him to fix it. But, yeah, as of now, it's not going well for sure.
Well, it isn't, and now we're going to see how much he plays on Monday night coming up. The other one that caught our attention was the answer about Devin White. Elliot, it was an odd situation last week where he was suddenly hurt. He didn't make the trip, and then they watched Zach Bond play great and N'Kobe Dean at least play pretty well. And now the question is, what happens to Devin White? What did you make of the quick answer there saying N'Kobe is the starter, which makes me wonder, where does that leave Devin White in all this?
Yeah, I guess there's not much of a question, right? Devin White is the starter. I asked Vic if he spoke to Devin White about it. He said yes, he did, and Devin's a part of the team and all those things. But again, I'll circle it back to the Bryce Huff thing. Like, you signed these guys the first week and a half of free agency. You clearly had a plan for them. Devin White got almost $4 million in guaranteed money. That's not a huge amount of money, but this isn't, the $500,000 that they gave Rashad Penny last year where it's like, okay, you took a flyer on him. Devin White was signed with the purpose of playing. You don't hand that type of money out just for fun. So, I will say N'Kobe earned the job, like, for sure. N'Kobe had an awesome training camp. And, personally, like, it's awesome to see him win the job. He's had injuries. He was a former third-round pick. So it's cool to see him do that. But we're talking about almost $40 million in free agent signings on defensive side of the ball that we're talking about essentially being backups. I mean, Bryce Huff was fourth on the team in snaps. I don't know what else you would call that besides a backup, or fourth, I should say, among edge rushers. So Devin White's benched. Bryce Huff isn't playing. I mean, that's $40 million, or at least through 1 week. That certainly doesn't look like it was well spent.
No, not so far. It was not. Elliot Shore Parks with us here. Our money well spent, it looks like, through week one is certainly Saquon Barkley, NFC Offensive Player of the Week. Elliot, what is your guess expectation for now how they use him? Because week one, It was a lot. 26 touches. He was the best player on the field for them. Sirianni asked about it this week, and he kind of gave one of those, we'll take care of him in practice, the flow of the game, blah, blah, blah. Do you expect him to be used a lot and more than most Eagles running backs have been?
Definitely. I think they're going to keep using him a ton. In training camp, only A.J. Brown got involved more than Saquon did. Saquon had, I think, 74 combined carries and targets, which is a lot for a running back. You normally don't see that type of workload for a running back in training camp. So they were preparing him for this role, and you saw week one against the Packers, they're prepared to use him that way. I think it's the right thing to do. I do understand, you know, you want to think about the playoffs at the end of the season, but at the end of the day, they have to get to the playoffs. This is not a team with how last season ended that can take anything for granted. So I think they're prepared to use him a ton. The Falcons' defensive line, not that good. So yeah, I would expect to see another big game from Saquon this upcoming Monday.
Elliot, the other side of the offensive coin on Friday was Jalen Hurts. There were some really good, and there were some not so good, including all those turnover-worthy plays. Elliot, how would you assess Jalen and how he played week one?
I was stunned because watching him every day in training camp, obviously he went 305 throws without an interception. No quarterback's done that before. Like, I thought he would come out and really play like the guy I saw in training camp, and he could still be that guy this season. But on Friday night, he looked like the guy at the end of last year that was a big part of the reason why the season collapsed. I mean, he was lucky to only have two turnovers, and he was lucky he didn't throw the game away on that final possession where A.J. kind of prevented an interception from happening at midfield with the Eagles only up two. So he got lucky, I think, to leave that game with a win. That doesn't mean he didn't make some good plays. He certainly did. The throw to Saquon was really good. The touchdown to A.J., I think people view that as an easy pass, but the touch he put on that, hitting AJ in motion, like that was a really nice throw. But ultimately, he tried to throw the game away like multiple times. So if he's going to be the quarterback that he was on Friday night, they might make the playoffs. They probably will. But they're not going to get where I think this roster is capable of going.
Elliot, one of those throws, you mentioned almost throw the game away. I think you highlighted this and tweeted. It was about like four something to go in the game around midfield, and it was a read option.
Yep.
He held it. He threw it to AJ, who didn't seem to think it was coming at first, and then it was, and it almost was an interception there. Elliot, that play made me wonder, is it time for the Eagles to start moving away from the read option entirely here? Because that play didn't fool anybody except maybe Jalen. And it just doesn't feel like the way he's running right now and the way teams defend it, like it doesn't fool anybody anymore. What do you make of that part of the offense?
Yeah, you know, obviously the RPO is far more effective for teams that have a quarterback that is a legitimate threat, right? And obviously with Saquon in the RPO, when you have a running back like that, that's another legitimate threat. So I don't think it's time to completely get rid of it. I think we're all going a little overboard with Jalen as a runner. I mean, he's still a pretty effective, dangerous runner. He is not the guy he was his rookie year. He's not, you know, Lamar Jackson or Josh Allen, but he's still one of the best running quarterbacks in the NFL. So, look, the decisions have to be good, and I think that Jalen as a whole didn't do a great job making decisions in the pocket on Friday night, either with RPOs or when it came to pressure and when he left the pocket versus when he should have stayed there. But ultimately, the RPO still put stress on the defense, and Jalen still put stress on the defense as a runner. So, no, I wouldn't move away from it.
Elliot with us here as we look forward now to week two of the season. Elliot, what's your initial thought? I saw you put up some scouting report on the Falcons. Your initial thought on this game Monday? The Eagles, I think they moved from about a 4.5-point favorite to about a 6.5-point favorite. Atlanta's interesting because they have got some players and they signed Cousins to a big contract, but they lost at home to the Steelers week one, and it didn't seem like Kirk moved very well. What do you think of this game Monday?
Yeah, I think the Eagles have to win this game by 10+. I don't think this is a game where we're talking on Tuesday and it's, well, they won the game, didn't play great, you know, like it has been the last, what feels like, almost, you know, year and a half with this team. The Falcons have some talent. Bijan is good. Drake London's okay. Kyle Pitts is you know, probably a very good, I would say, tight end, I guess. But ultimately, the Eagles have far more talent than this team. I think they have the advantage on both lines, which is not how I felt going into that Packers game. And they're at home. It's prime time. It's Monday night. It's time to put together a good performance from the Eagles. Far too often we explain why it's a good win instead of just realizing in the moment it's a good win. And on Monday night, you're better than the Falcons. They should win this game by 10+ on Monday.
I agree with you on that. We haven't had one of those wins in a while. I'm trying to remember the last one.
Yeah.
I mean, they played a lot of good teams in the stretch last year, but was it like Miami last October? When was the last time they beat a team by double digits and we felt really good?
I'll go a step further. In the last 10 games, Jalen's had a passer rating over 100 twice, and they've lost both of those games. So when's the last time Jalen played great and they won an impressive game? I mean, Buffalo, maybe, right? Obviously, the defense didn't play great in that game, but that was a quality win, good opponent. Jalen played great. But far too often, after Eagles games recently, really since the Super Bowl, we're leaving and going, you know, explaining why they played well instead of just knowing it. So I think it's time to prove it.
I like it. Elliot, we appreciate you hopping on, and we'll catch up soon. And we're excited for Monday night. It's going to be a fun night at the stadium. Thank you, Elliot.
Yep, sounds good. Talk to you guys later.
There he goes. Elliot Shore Parks there. I mean, he summed it up as well as he could. I mean, they've got nearly $40 million now on defensive players they signed that are not a big part of the game plan.
Yeah. And you know, I'm sitting here while you were doing that, and I was just kind of looking at going over some of the plays that I've seen. I think Bryce is going to play better. I really, really do. I think that there's going to be some opportunities there, especially this weekend, for him to get off the schneid, if you will. And I think this defensive line is going to get after the quarterback.
Well, this quarterback can't move right now, so that
not at all.
It should help. Yeah,
he's a statue.
Kirk is never Mr. Mobile anyway, but now off the Achilles, it looks like it's going to take him more time to get back where he needs to go. Also, interesting stuff there from Elliot on Jalen Hurts. Your reaction to that? 215-592-9494. We got a lot to do here. Should the Phillies retaliate tonight? I say yes, 100%. We'll reignite that next with you guys. And Hassan Reddick, is it time to call the Jets back and say, hey, bring this guy home. You guys, he didn't want to play for you. You're not paying him. It's just burning a hole in everyone's pocket. Make the trade. Bring Hassan Reddick back. Agree, disagree with that. 215-592-9494. All right, along with this, we did stumble upon a controversy with Hugh's playing career.
Yeah,
we need
in
to
trouble.
Address later. This one's a juicy one. Plus, Donovan McNabb yesterday with the afternoon show, what he said about Jalen Hurts' performance and what he noticed with the turnovers on Friday. That's all coming up. Midday show, Sports Radio 94 WIP. NFL Week 2 is here. And you can start the season with a big return on FanDuel in partnership with Valley Forge Casino, America's number one sportsbook. New to FanDuel? You get started with $200 of bonus bets guaranteed when you place your first $5 bet. Let's do a little same game parlay for Thursday Night Football. Let's go with the over for James Cook rushing yards, the over for Tyreek Hill receiving yards, and an anytime touchdown for Josh Allen. Visit FanDuel.com/GIGLIO to make everyone more this season. FanDuel Sportsbook is the official partner of 94 WIP. FanDuel, an official sportsbook partner of the NFL.
Explaining football to the friend who's just there for the nachos? Hard. Tailgating from home like a pro with snacks and drinks everyone will love? An easy win. And with Instacart helping deliver the snack time MVPs to your door, you're ready for the game in as fast as 30 minutes. So you never miss a play or lose your seat on the couch or have to go head-to-head for the last chicken wing. Shop game day faves on Instacart and enjoy $0 delivery fees on your first three grocery orders. Offer valid for a limited time. Other fees and terms apply. Required. Bonus issues.
Castellanos is hit by the pitch, and he is not happy. The benches are going to clear. Harper's already at the mounds. Castellanos has been hit a handful of times this week. That was probably the most egregious.
Now, he threw one inside to Bryce. He threw one in up and in on Garrett Stubbs.
We're not taking this anymore, Hugh. We're not going to take it anymore.
No, I hear you, but I mean, we know we're trying to look, you know, bigger pictures.
I don't think you're listening to the songs today.
No, I mean, I hear the song, but I'm just saying I think we need to.
Sounds like you're willing to take it. We're not. Welcome back. Midday Show. Hugh Douglas, Joe Giglio. Yes, I believe the Phillies should retaliate tonight. Hit a Ray, get it out of the way, and sweep this series and go move on to the Mets this weekend. It's just unacceptable what happened last night to Castellanos. It was...
Yeah, it was kind of crazy.
It was on purpose. I mean, like, you know.
Definitely on purpose.
That's the thing. T-Mac mentioned that Castellanos has been hit this week before. You know, this happens. Baseball players get hit. These pitchers now throw really hard. Whit Merrifield commented a couple weeks ago how it's out of control. Like, these guys just throw as hard as they can. They don't know where the ball's going. They don't care about command.
Mm-hmm.
So batters get hit. It's part of the game. Most of the time, I think it's totally accidental. I don't think a pitcher does it on purpose. But when it happens on purpose, Hugh, I have to retaliate. I want the Phillies to retaliate tonight. Hugh, on the record, you do or do not want retaliation?
No, I want retaliation. I don't think it's needed. I don't think it's needed tonight because I feel like, you know, we're looking at the bigger picture. Let's sweep them. Let's retaliate by breaking out the brooms tonight and just beating them like that.
How about both?
No,
what happened to my city? Dude?
I don't know. What happened to Hugh
Douglas?
We've
gotten so soft. Anyone who does not want to retaliate tonight is weak. Weak.
That sounds pretty kind of personal attack.
I mean, he's saying anyone. He didn't say you.
It got personal when they plunked Castellanos.
That's right.
You know what's funny? I've gotten immune to the personal attacks because it happens like on a day-to-day basis. So
they're all out of love. It's okay.
You know what it is? You know, like yesterday when I was criticizing Jalen and someone accused me of making it, you know, like I don't like him or not rooting for him. No, I expect more out of him. And the city expects more to Hugh Douglas. That's
right.
Why people get upset.
No, I mean, it feels more personal.
Well, they don't know what happened to you. They don't know what happened.
I've heard that a few times.
Yeah, where's the real Hugh?
I've heard that a few times. Who is this guy?
Who's this plant-based guy sitting in here? Yes, the Phillies should retaliate. Agree, disagree. 215-592-9494 is how you hop aboard. And, of course, the Eagles with Hassan Reddick. And the Jets thing is a disaster. He hasn't shown up. I don't think he's going to show up.
He ain't showing up.
Well, what, like, how do you think the Jets season and Hassan's thing ends? Like, there's three options.
Yeah.
One, he comes in, he puts his tail between his legs, he just plays, right, on his salary for this year. The Jets pay him. That's option two. Or he sits out the entire year.
So,
sitting out the entire year, that just sounds crazy.
Well, isn't that the idea here? Like, if he's going to go all in on this holdout and stand on principle, then that's what he should be doing. Not this half-ass, come back after 2 weeks, tail tuck between your legs. That's weak to me, too. Like, here's where I feel like this is going to... The next few weeks, Hassan Reddick is going to sit on his couch, see how the Jets play. He might not even want to come back if their season goes awry.
He doesn't
want
to be a Jet anymore.
No.
I think actually option four is he ends up on another team, another trade before the trade deadline.
You think so?
Well, all right, if he's not playing for them, they have no use for him. If he's not if they're not paying him, he has no use for them. Like, at some point, something has to change here. And the change could be maybe another team says, hey, we need an edge rusher. We'll give you a sixth round pick, take him off your hands, and we'll give him some money.
Spite is a real thing, though. And I think in this situation that it would not surprise me the Jets to be spiteful and just let him sit out for the year. Because here's the one thing that's true when it comes to Hassan Reddick. The one thing that is definitely not on his time is, well, I said it wrong, but it's not on his side is time. Time is not on his side.
Because of his age?
Yes. And the reason why people are being reluctant to pay him is because of his age. That's just the reality of the NFL. Once you reach a certain age, guys don't want to pay you. And that's kind of, he's at that age where he's still productive, but he's a little older. And this, what he's doing is not endearing him to nobody right now. And when teams look at this, like, the only thing that's going to save this, you know, we're talking about him being on another team and all this other good stuff.
Mm-hmm.
They're going to have to trade for him and pay him.
Yes, yes.
Because he's not coming. Like, you need to know that, which I do not understand why the Jets didn't understand this one truism when they were going through this. I don't know who thought that it was a good idea to trade for a guy who wants to be paid and did not have not nan conversation with him, so from what we know.
I don't know if you picked up on this during your time there. I have surmised this, Hugh. You may have heard this before. The Jets don't know what they're doing. They haven't been in a Super Bowl since the 60s. I mean, they don't know what they're doing.
Yeah, that's a little strange to me that, you know, you go in a situation like this, a fluid situation where the man has said, like, I want to be paid. And you say, okay, we'll trade for you. And did not even have the conversation.
So earlier you said it'd be an L for Howie if he traded back for him. I actually think this could turn into like one of the best Howie moments. If Howie dumps a player, realizes he needs him, and gets him back for pennies on the dollar. Like, there's no way the Jets could ask the Eagles back for what they gave them. Like, I'd say no if I was Howie. This is a distressed asset now. He won't play for you.
Distressed asset is pretty cool. I like that.
It is a distressed asset for the Jets. If I'm Howie, I call the Jets today and I say, I'll give you a 6th-round pick. Send him back.
You give him a 6th-round pick, but then you still have one problem.
He wants his money.
Yes.
I'll work that now out with him.
But see, here's the thing. There's no, like, I feel like you feel, and a lot of people feel, like this is a situation that can't be negotiated.
Mm-hmm.
I don't feel like Hassan Reddick feels like negotiating.
Well, money.
Well, when I say that, this is what I mean.
Oh, he has a firm
number? He has a number. Like, for him to sit out, like, I don't know, like, again, I don't know the inner workings of this story, but it sounds like the Jets didn't even have a conversation with him about re-signing him. He has a number in his head that nobody has come close to reaching. I don't think that number changes right now. Now, as time progresses, it might change, but as of right now, I don't think Hassan Reddick is budging off of what he feels he's worth. And that's where the problem lies. I think everybody's looking at, oh, we'll trade for him and negotiate for him. Okay, you're not, I can tell you right now, in this negotiation, because the season's already started and funds have already been allocated elsewhere, you're not going to give Hassan Reddick the money that he wants.
Well, doesn't it work both ways? Yesterday's price is not today's price. Things are changing.
Yeah, I do remember that, the fat joke.
Yeah,
saying,
things are changing here.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I don't know what's going to get him on the football field. All I know is this. The Eagles could use him, and the Jets thing is a disaster. I'd make the phone call. 215-592-9494. Let's go back to the phone lines here, and then we'll let you hear what Donovan McNabb had to say yesterday on the afternoon show about Jalen Hurts' week one performance. Terry is up on WIP. Hey, Terry.
Hey, what's up, guys?
What's up, Terry? What are you thinking?
More and more I was listening to this conversation about the whole Philly thing. I think I want to go back and, you know what, let the boys swing tonight. They want to swing at them. Let them come back down. But you know what? We're fighting, so let
there
them come
we go.
Back and
that's
value.
Right.
We're
that's,
not going to take it.
No, we're not taking this anymore, Terry.
I'm not on plant-based level here like you.
I feel attacked.
Well, he's just saying he's not. His thinking isn't plant based, and you got plant based butter in your brain here.
I got
you over here eating plant based butter. I got eating mushroom coffee, man.
Mushroom coffee is good, though, by the way. Mushroom coffee.
I think something's being lost in the translation with the mushroom coffee. It's supposed to make you think clearer.
I'm not hallucinate.
No, I'm saying,
you got the wrong mushrooms.
Clear. I am thinking clear. I'm clear about this.
You are. You've been concise today, but I don't know if you're seeing things clearly. That's the problem, Terry.
It's not clearing out your system.
Yeah. Go ahead, Terry.
Do make things move along.
Excuse me.
But, yeah, I mean, I was at the game last night. Seeing them boys go at it, it was just like looking like a Royal Rumble about to go down.
It did. It looked like it was going to be one of those old school brawls, but they don't happen very often. Terry, we appreciate the phone call. Look, I know you had a little bit of a fear, Hugh, that if they did hit a Ray tonight, maybe it'd be an all-out brawl, and then someone gets hurt. That's not going to happen.
You don't think so?
Yeah, no, the Rays are going to take it. They're going to realize it's their pitcher's fault.
They're going to take it.
They are. They started it. If I'm one of their hitters tonight and I get plunked, you know what I'm saying? It's that.
I deserve it.
Yeah, that joker in the bullpen's fault because he started this last night for no reason.
I mean, that doesn't sound like that's going to be the case. But if you believe that, I mean, I guess. I don't think so. I think you need to take the high ground on this, the high road.
But wait a second.
And just get the win.
Let's do this the other way. Let's say Alvarado gave up a bunch of runs and he was annoyed and he threw out a batter for the Mets or whoever. And the next game, Castellanos gets hit in retaliation. If I'm Castellanos, I'm annoyed at Alvarado. Like you, this is you. You started this.
No, I hear what you're saying, but we got bigger fish to fry. And I like the analogy that you brought up in the scenario. But listen, we're already a little bit banged up, Joe. I just need us to get healthy, get past this one, get healthy, and get ready for the next one.
We're not going
to
take it anymore, though, Hugh.
No, I hear what you're saying. And I've acknowledged that fact that you've been playing it a lot. But no, I feel like we should just, you know, get the win tonight and just get healthy. Get healthy and get ready for this postseason.
It's so disappointing. Don't you want to just plunk someone? Don't you want to see your red get plunked?
Every day. Like, there's not a day go by that I don't have the urge to punch somebody in the
face.
See,
this is the real Q.
But I don't act on those urges.
You care to name names?
I mean, I would, but if you'd have caught me in a couple years ago, I'd have definitely.
No, but you're a civilian, a working man now. They're on the field.
No, and to this day, it's still catch that would really catch a fade, like a quick fade. But it's like, you know, what's the, like, at the end of the day, is it really worth it? I mean, I would probably argue, yeah, I was best about to say. But I would not do that. I would take the high ground. I would definitely take the
high
ground.
Well, I guess someone on the show has to, because I want to plunk a Ray tonight. Jake is up. What's up, Jake?
Hey, guys. How are you doing?
Good, Jake. What are you feeling?
Good. So, okay, so here's my idea. So this guy's been disappointing all season long, but the one thing I've noticed every game when he's not in the bullpen, he's on the top step. He was the first guy out of the bullpen last night. I think after Wheeler deals a great game, Taiwan Walker comes in, plunks the guy.
I love this idea. This is the way to get Taiwan.
I like how everybody got it all mapped out.
Yeah, get Taiwan back in everyone's
Walker
good graces.
Is the guy he's that's going to make it happen.
In hockey terms, he's the goon tonight. Yeah. He's the guy. He's going to go start the fight.
And get himself back in good graces.
Yes.
I like how everybody says, oh, get himself back in good graces.
Yeah. Oh, it's a great teammate. You know, actually, Jake, I want Taiwan to go to Topper's office this afternoon and say, I'll do it. I'll hit him.
It's like, Coach, I've been letting you down all season. Let me do this for you.
And he's going to say it just like that, huh?
Yep.
Yeah,
Coach,
yeah,
I've been letting you down all season.
He's a big man. He's what, like 6'5", 230?
So wait a minute. Let me get this straight, Jake. So the dude that was liking tweets about Topper, like negative tweets about Topper last year, gonna go in his office.
Yep.
And tell him,
get
you know, he wants
good
to be.
Side. Yeah.
Yeah.
Do you really think
he
wants to be on Topper's good side at this point?
Well, I mean, of course he does.
Okay, y'all.
Of course he does.
Y'all smoking.
He's a team player.
Why?
He's a team player. The same dude that went in there and forced his way back into the lineup.
Well, wants to pitch.
Yeah, this is the new
it's
Taiwan.
The same guy.
New Taiwan.
The same guy. He, you know what Taiwan hasn't been doing? Eating plant-based butter or drinking mushroom coffee. So I think y'all know what y'all talking about.
I feel like if he could do any little thing to get himself on that mound again, he would do it.
The same guy that the last time he was on the mound, when you asked him how did he pitch, he was like, I did okay. Or something to that effect.
But this is how Taiwan can get on the World Series DVD.
So y'all are crazy. Like, y'all really think that's going to happen.
We're not putting them on the world.
Wait, hold on. And we appreciate the phone call.
He said, no, but the last time he had a press conference and they asked him, hey, how did you think you pitched? Ad-libbing. I did okay. You know, I got lost a little control here. Right,
I guess I should say the video yearbook on YouTube. We don't even make DVDs anymore, do we? But you know what I mean. Like like when they chronicle this season.
Yeah.
And the Phillies end this thing with a parade, and they're going through like each player and their contribution.
That's going to be his. That's going to be his shining moment.
Yeah, Schwarber broke the record for most leadoff home runs. Trey was red hot for a month. You know, blah blah blah, all the way down the line. Zach Wheeler was a Cy Young finalist and all that. And then we'll get to Taiwan, right? And it started off poorly, but how did he win everyone back over? When
he plunked
a Ray in September. To avenge his teammate. Like, that's good teammate behavior.
I mean, I hear you. But again, like, I've given you a couple examples of why Taiwan Walker is probably, it would not be considered one of the best teammates.
So, I actually, in a serious note, I will give him credit. A couple weeks ago, remember when he was getting smashed around by the Blue Jays?
Mm-hmm.
He volunteered to keep pitching, like, inning after inning.
Trying to save the bullpen?
Yeah, I guess the Astros that hit him around. Yeah, he wanted mm-hmm. to save the bullpen. I think that he's, this is a new Taiwan, Hugh. And tonight,
okay,
he could be the guy.
I hear you. I mean, since you put it in that light, okay, I hear you.
Plus, I think you can avoid any serious injury to a Ray because he only throws like 92 miles an hour.
So it's not going to be that hard.
It's not going to be 100 or anything. All right, 215-592-9494. Let's hear from Donovan McNabb. Donovan, on with the afternoon show yesterday. Here was his assessment of Jalen Hurts in week one.
I think Jalen, he can tell you himself, there are a lot of throws that he would love to have back. Too many turnovers, quarterback center exchange. Trying to be somewhat of the hero, trying to make the miraculous play instead of just making the easy play. And for a quarterback, we all kind of get caught up in that situation when the game is going. But I think for Jalen, it will be an opportunity for him to sit and learn from it and know what he actually has and now can kind of clean it up as we go forward.
That was interesting, Hugh, from Donovan there on the too much. He basically saying too much hero ball. Like he's trying too much to do too much when he doesn't have to do that much.
Yeah, it's one of those things, man. Where he has to get again, just like I said about Bryce Huff, he has to find his comfort, his sweet spot. Because like I've been saying all offseason, Jalen doesn't have to do a whole lot for this offense to be successful. Just play within themselves. I know there's been a lot of speculation. Carla called in earlier and was talking about, you know, him reading defenses or things of that nature. That I feel like that remains to be seen. And when I look at Jalen's numbers as a quarterback, he's progressively gotten better every year, save the turnovers, which have escalated over the years because he throws the ball a lot more. You have to let your playmakers make plays. Put the ball in the hand of your playmakers and let them do the job. Again, I still feel strongly that the reason why the game went the way that it did last week was because of the way it started. And when Saquon Barkley slipped, that kind of threw everything in a tizzy because now you got the Green Bay Packers knocking on your front door like right away, like early when the game started. So this week coming up, playing against the Falcons, I want to see – number one, you can't make some of the decisions that you made Friday night. Can't have those. Can't play for, I guess, to coin the phrase, hero ball. You can't play hero ball. And you can't put the ball, well, I guess if you're not playing hero ball, you're not putting the ball in harm's way. No turnovers. And I want to see this defense play a lot sounder. They played decent, but I want to see them tighten up that running game because guess what the Falcons are going to do? They're going to run the ball.
With Bijan, they're going to run the ball.
They're going to look at that damn near 200 yards that you gave up against the Green Bay Packers and say, oh, we got a guy. And they're going to feed the beast, especially when you talk about the fact that T.J. Watt teed off on your offensive line last week because you have to have a tail. They're going to feed the running back this week and try to give him some help.
Yeah, they are. You know, Kyle, you know what's ironic about the Hurts thing? It's flipped from when he came in the league. When he came in the league, there were questions about him physically, but none about his intangibles or how smart he was, how he took care of the football. Now he's become a better thrower. He throws a nicer ball, but now all we're questioning is the intangibles and his on-field decision-making.
The only physical question we have with Jalen is whether or not he's still...
A runner.
Yeah.
A real runner.
Yeah, I think like everybody has either... I don't know. Like, I don't know if he's proven everybody wrong about like his arm talent, or I think everybody just sort of resigned to what it is. It's a matter of can he make the right decisions, knowing his limitations in that aspect. We do have to remember, though, guys, two things. He did make history by being the first quarterback to win in Brazil.
We did learn that, yesterday.
And there's only one Jesus. So
I thought we was leaving Jesus alone. that was the consistency yesterday. I thought we was backing off of that one.
But facts are facts, right?
Yeah, I guess you're right.
Just the one famous one.
We just got to make sure.
That's it. I'll leave that alone after that one. But that was funny.
And there is only one Hassan Reddick. I'd like to bring him back here, too, as well. Let's go to Steve in Trenton. What's up, Steve?
Hey, Joe. How you guys doing this morning? Or
what's
afternoon,
going?
I guess.
What's
good,
on,
Steve.
Man?
What's up, buddy? What are you feeling?
I'm feeling like with the Hassan Reddick thing, I'll start with that. It reminds me a little bit of James Harden when he was asking for that long-term contract and everybody knew he only had a couple years left. He's trying to get paid for 4 years when he can only play 1 year well. And I still wouldn't bring him back just because of the money. It's going to bring us down for years investing all that money. And on the Phillies thing, absolutely, yes. I think they should hit him. I mean, these guys... I don't know the stats on baseball, how often dudes get hit, but it seems like we're getting hit constantly recently. And I mean, it's Philly. Like, if anybody's going to hit anyone, you'd think it'd be us. And I don't know. I'm surprised. I thought I might have even seen it last night, but if I were them tonight, I would throw three pitches way out of the zone, then plunk the guy.
Well, and Rob, they could do it. I mean, it's the last game of the series. It does sound like a strategy. And Steve, there's a way to do it. Like, I don't want to throw it near anyone's head, but throw it in his back, throw it in his backside, send the message. We're not doing this anymore.
Exactly. And you know what? People don't want to do it because they say they don't do it anymore and it's not a thing. But what happens if, you know, the chance Bryce gets hit in the elbow and it injures him and people go, wow, you know, if we would have hit him 2 weeks ago, maybe we wouldn't get thrown at like this. You know what I mean? Not that it's intentional all the time because it's accidental recently, but these guys are trying to throw it so hard recently, and it gets wild. I would retaliate, yeah.
Yeah, and Steve, we appreciate it. I don't think it's intentional most of the time. Like Bryce Harper in Toronto last week, remember he got hit on the left elbow and he had to come out of the game?
And he kind of knew. I think he kind of knew that.
I don't think anyone thought it was intentional, but these teams feel like they could throw up and around the Phillies.
It's the principalities of the situation.
You respect principalities.
Principalities, yeah. I'm petty. When I feel disrespected, I do.
It sounds like you're thinking about retaliation tonight. I'm trying to
look at the bigger picture. Look at the bigger picture. Mm-hmm. You got to look at the bigger picture.
The real Hugh's in there somewhere.
I know.
I'm saying you got to look at the bigger picture, man. You can't retaliate.
When you peel away the plant-based butter, it's somewhere.
When the plant-based butter melts away,
the real Hugh Douglas is still around somewhere. He is. Some days I don't know where he is, but we think he's there somewhere.
Plant-based.
Now, do I expect the Phillies to retaliate tonight?
No.
I don't, but boy, I'd love if they did.
They ain't about that action. You know what's funny? This is what I find funny, because most of the people talking about retaliating, they don't even retaliate at work when their boss does some disrespectful. Well, you can't.
But that's different.
Yeah, but it's the same. It's kind of the same thing.
It's not.
You kind of retaliate. Or a coworker.
But the Rays can't fire the Phillies.
You know what? It's funny. I want one of y'all that has the office refrigerator. Retaliate with that dude that drank your juice. Retaliate there. Do that. Or the guy that ate your sandwich. Since you all for retaliating.
No, but this
have you retaliated with Warren Sapp?
Oh.
Have I? No, it was a different tire. Hey, Kyle. I'm starting not to like you anymore.
You got him with that one. Well,
yeah.
You know what?
I was trying to get my foot in the door. But I bet you won't do it now.
Not this time he won't.
I bet you he catch this fade. That's what he going to catch.
Listen, we've got on good information that Zach Wheeler from time to time will listen to the show on his way in.
Uh-huh.
He's pitching tonight, right?
Yeah.
I haven't asked for much out of Zach Wheeler.
So you got to ask him to plunk.
Zach, if you're listening, I need a right plunk tonight. We got to even the score. Again, not up and in, no head stuff, and no one is going to hurt anybody, but just put in his back. Is that the tone?
You know what, though?
Let's go.
Zach, I feel like Zach got hands, too, so ain't nobody about to run up on Zach.
No.
Because it's always the little skinny kind of dudes that got, they got that boxing game. So I think he probably got hands.
See, you're starting to come around to the
idea. No, I'm not saying, but I'm not telling.
Oh, Castellanos is hit by the pitch, and he is not happy. The benches are going to clear. Harper's already at the mounds. Castellanos has been hit a handful of times this week. That was probably the most egregious.
Nah, he threw one inside to Bryce. He threw one in up and in on Garrett Stubbs.
We're not taking this anymore, Hugh. We're not going to take it anymore.
No, I hear you, but we're trying to look, bigger pictures.
I don't think you're listening to the songs today.
I hear the song, but I'm just saying I think we need to.
Sounds like you're willing to take it. We're not. Welcome back. Midday Show. Hugh Douglas, Joe Giglio. Yes, I believe the Phillies should retaliate tonight. Hit a Ray, get it out of the way, and sweep this series and go move on to the Mets this weekend. It's just unacceptable what happened last night to Castellanos. It was...
Yeah, it was kind of crazy.
It was on purpose. I mean,
definitely on purpose.
That's the thing. T-Mac mentioned that Castellanos has been hit this week before. This happens. Baseball players get hit. These pitchers now throw really hard. Whit Merrifield commented a couple weeks ago how it's out of control. These guys just throw as hard as they can. They don't know where the ball's going. They don't care about command.
Mm-hmm.
So batters get hit. It's part of the game. Most of the time, I think it's totally accidental. I don't think a pitcher does it on purpose. But when it happens on purpose, Hugh, I have to retaliate. I want the Phillies to retaliate tonight. Hugh, on the record, you do or do not want retaliation?
No one retaliation. I don't think it's needed. I don't think it's needed tonight. Because I feel like, we're looking at the bigger picture. Let's sweep them. Let's retaliate by breaking out the brooms tonight and just beating them like that.
How about both? How about both?
No,
what happened to my city, dude?
I don't know. What happened to Hugh
Douglas? We've gotten so soft. Anyone who does not want to retaliate tonight is weak. Weak.
That sounds pretty personal attack.
I mean, he's saying anyone. He didn't say you. I mean,
it got personal when they plunked Castellanos.
That's right.
You know what's funny? I've gotten immune to the personal attacks because it happens on a day-to-day basis. So
they're all out of love. It's okay.
You know what it is? Yesterday when I was criticizing Jalen and someone accused me of making it, I don't like him or not rooting for him. No, I expect more out of him. And the city expects more to Hugh Douglas. That's
right.
Why people get upset.
No, it feels more personal.
They don't know what happened to you. They don't know what happened.
I've heard that a few times.
Where's the real
Hugh? I've heard that a few times. Who is this guy?
Who's this plant-based guy sitting in here? Yes, the Phillies should retaliate. Agree, disagree. 215-592-9494 is how you hop aboard. And, of course, the Eagles with Hassan Reddick. And the Jets thing is a disaster. He hasn't shown up. I don't think he's going to show up. Well, what, like, how do you think the Jets season and Hassan's thing ends? Like, there's three options. Yeah. One, he comes in, he puts his tail between his legs, he just plays, right, on his salary for this year. The Jets pay him. That's option two. Or he sits out the entire year.
So
sitting out the entire year, that just sounds crazy.
Well, isn't that the idea here? Like, if he's going to go all in on this holdout and stand on principle, then that's what he should be doing. Not this half-ass come back after 2 weeks, tail tuck between your legs. That's weak to me, too. Like, here's where I feel like this is going to – the next few weeks, Hassan Reddick is going to sit on his couch, see how the Jets play. He might not even want to come back if their season goes awry.
Oh, he doesn't
awry.
Want to be a Jet anymore.
No.
I think actually option four is he ends up on another team, another trade before the trade deadline.
You think so?
Well, all right. If he's not playing for them, they have no use for him. If he's not if they're not paying him, he has no use for them. Like, at some point, something has to change here, and the change could be maybe another team says, "Hey, we need an edge rusher. We'll trade. We'll give you a 6th-round pick. Take him off your hands, and we'll give him some money."
Spite is a real thing, though, and I think in this situation, that it would not surprise me the Jets to be spiteful and just let him sit out for the year. Because here's the one thing that's true when it comes to Hassan Reddick. The one thing that is definitely not on his time is, well, I said it wrong, but it's not on his side is time. Time is not on his side.
Because of his age?
Yes. And the reason why people are being reluctant to pay him is because of his age. That's just the reality of the NFL. Once you reach a certain age, guys don't want to pay you. And that's kind of, he's at that age where he's still productive, but he's a little older. And this, what he's doing is not endearing him to nobody right now. And when teams look at this, like, the only thing that's going to save this, you know, we're talking about him being on another team and all this other good stuff. They're going to have to trade for him and pay him.
Yes, yes.
Because he's not coming. Like, you need to know that, which I do not understand why the Jets didn't understand this one truism when they were going through this. I don't know who thought that it was a good idea to trade for a guy who wants to be paid and then not have not nan conversation with him, so for what we know.
I don't know if you picked up on this during your time there. I have surmised this year. You may have heard this before. The Jets don't know what they're doing. They haven't been in a Super Bowl since the 60s. I mean, they don't know what they're doing.
Yeah, that's a little strange to me that, you know, you go in a situation like this, a fluid situation where the man has said, like, I want to be paid. And you say, okay, we'll trade for you. And did not even have the conversation.
So earlier you said it'd be an L for Howie if he traded back for him. I actually think this could turn into like one of the best Howie moments. If Howie dumps a player, realizes he needs him, and gets him back for pennies on the dollar. Like, there's no way the Jets could ask the Eagles back for what they gave them. Like, I'd say no if I was Howie. This is a distressed asset now. He won't play for you.
Distressed asset is pretty cool. I like that.
It is a distressed asset for the Jets. If I'm Howie, I call the Jets today and I say, I'll give you a 6th-round pick. Send him back.
You give him a 6th-round pick, but then you still have one problem.
He wants his money.
Yes.
I'll work that now out with him.
But see, here's the thing. There's no, like, I feel like you feel, and a lot of people feel, like this is a situation that can't be negotiated.
Mm-hmm.
I don't feel like Hassan Reddick feels like negotiating.
Well, money.
Well, when I say that, this is what I mean.
Oh, he has a firm
number? He has a number. Like, for him to sit out, like, I don't know, like, again, I don't know the inner workings of this story, but it sounds like the Jets didn't even have a conversation with him about re-signing him. He has a number in his head that nobody has come close to reaching. I don't think that number changes right now. Now, as time progresses, it might change, but as of right now, I don't think Hassan Reddick is budging off of what he feels he's worth. And that's where the problem lies. I think everybody's looking at, oh, we'll trade for him and negotiate for him. Okay, you're not, I can tell you right now, in this negotiation, because the season's already started and funds have already been allocated elsewhere, you're not going to give Hassan Reddick the money that he wants.
Well, doesn't it work both ways? Yesterday's price is not today's price. Things are changing.
Yeah, I do remember that, the Fat Joe
saying. Yeah, things are changing here.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I don't know what's going to get him on the football field. All I know is this. The Eagles could use him, and the Jets thing is a disaster. I'd make the phone call. 215-592-949. Let's go back to the phone lines here, and then we'll let you hear what Donovan McNabb had to say yesterday on the afternoon show about Jalen Hurts' week one performance. Terry is up on WIP. Hey, Terry.
Hey, what's up, guys?
What's up, Terry? What are you thinking?
More and more I was listening to this conversation about the whole Philly thing. I think I want to go back and, you know what, let the boys swing tonight. They want to swing at them. Let them come back down. But you know what? We're fighting, so let
there
them come
we go.
Back and
that's
value.
Right.
We're
that's...
not going to take it.
No, we're not taking this anymore, Terry.
I'm not on plant-based level here like you.
I feel attacked.
Well, he's just saying he's not. His thinking isn't plant-based, and you got plant-based butter in your brain here.
I got plant-based butter. I got mushroom coffee, man.
Mushroom coffee is good, though. By the way. Mushroom coffee.
I think something's being lost in translation with the mushroom coffee. It's supposed to make you think clearer.
I'm not hallucinating.
I'm saying you got the wrong mushrooms. I am thinking clear. I'm clear about this.
You are. You've been concise today, but I don't know if you're seeing things clearly. That's the problem, Terry.
It's not clearing out your system.
Yeah. Go ahead, Terry.
Do make things move along.
Excuse me.
But yeah, I mean, I was at the game last night. Seeing them boys go at it, it was just like looking like a Royal Rumble about to go down.
It did. It looked like it was going to be one of those old school brawls, but they don't happen very often. Terry, we appreciate the phone call. Look, I know you had a little bit of a fear, Hugh, that if they did hit a Ray tonight, maybe it'd be an all-out brawl, and then someone gets hurt. That's not going to happen.
You don't think so?
Yeah, no, the Rays are going to take it. They're going to realize it's their pitcher's fault.
They're going to take it.
They are. They started it. If I'm one of their hitters tonight and I get plunked, you know what I'm saying? It's that.
I deserve it.
Yeah, that joker in the bullpen's fault because he started this last night for no reason.
I mean, that doesn't sound like that's going to be the case. But if you believe that, I mean, I guess. I don't think so. I think you need to take the high ground on this. The high road.
But wait a second.
And just get the win.
Let's do this the other way. Let's say Alvarado gave up a bunch of runs and he was annoyed. And he threw out a batter for the Mets or whoever. And the next game, Castellanos gets hit in retaliation. If I'm Castellanos, I'm annoyed at Alvarado. Like you, this is you. You started this.
No, I hear what you're saying, but we got bigger fish to fry. And I like the analogy that you brought up in the scenario. But listen, we're already a little bit banged up, Joe. I just need us to get healthy, get past this one, get healthy, and get ready for the next one.
We're not going
to
take it anymore, though, Hugh.
No, I hear what you're saying. And I've acknowledged that fact that you've been playing it a lot. But no, I feel like we should just, get the win tonight and just get healthy. Get healthy and get ready for this postseason.
It's so disappointing. Don't you want to just plunk someone? Don't you want to see your Ray get plunked?
Every day. Like, there's not a day go by that I don't have the urge to punch somebody in the
face.
See, this
is the real Hugh.
But I don't act on those urges.
Do you care to name names?
I mean, I would, but if you'd have caught me in a couple years ago, I'd have definitely.
No, but you're a civilian, a working man now. They're on the field.
No, to this day, it's still catch that would really catch a fade, like a quick fade. But it's like, what's the, like at the end of the day, is it really worth it? I mean, I would probably argue. Yeah, I was best about to say. But. I would not do that. I would take the high ground. I would definitely take the
Well,
high
I guess
ground.
Someone on the show has to because I want to plunk a Ray tonight. Jake is up. What's up, Jake?
Hey, guys. How are you doing?
Good, Jake. What are you feeling?
Good. So, okay, so here's my idea. So this guy's been disappointing all season long, but the one thing I've noticed every game when he's not in the bullpen, he's on the top step. He was the first guy out of the bullpen last night. I think after Wheeler deals a great game, Taiwan Walker comes in. Plunk the guy.
I love this idea. This is the way to get Taiwan.
I like how everybody got it all mapped out.
Yeah, get Taiwan back in everyone's
Walker
good graces.
Is the guy he's that's going to make it happen.
In hockey terms, he's the goon tonight. Yeah. He's the guy. He's going to go start the fight.
And get himself back in good graces.
Yes.
I like how everybody said, oh, get himself back in good graces.
Yeah. Oh, it's a great teammate. You know, actually, Jake, I want Taiwan to go to Topper's office this afternoon and say, I'll do it. I'll hit him.
It's like, coach, that's I've been letting you down all season. Let me do this for you.
And he's going to say it just like that, huh?
Yep.
Yeah,
coach,
yeah.
I've been letting you down all season.
He's a big man. He's what, like 6'5", 230?
So wait a minute. Let me get this straight, Jake. So the dude that was liking tweets about Topper, like negative tweets about Topper last year, going to go in his office and tell him,
he
wants to be.
Get back on his good side, yeah.
Do you really think he wants to be on Topper's good side at this point?
Well, I mean, of course he does.
Okay, y'all.
Of course he does.
Y'all smoking.
Why?
He's a team player. The same dude that went in there and forced his way back into the lineup.
Well, he wants the pitch.
Yeah, this is the new
it's
Taiwan.
The same guy.
New Taiwan.
The same guy. He, you know what Taiwan hasn't been doing? Eating plant-based butter or drinking mushroom coffee. So I think y'all know what y'all talking about.
I feel like if he could do any little thing to get himself on that mound again, he would do it.
The same guy that the last time he was on the mound, when you asked him how did he pitch, he was like, I did okay. Or something to that effect.
But this is how Taiwan can get on the World Series DVD.
So y'all are crazy. Like, y'all really think that's going to happen.
We're not putting them on the world.
Wait, hold on. And we preached this phone call.
He said, no, but the last time he had a press conference and they asked him, hey, how did you think you pitched? Ad-libbing. I did okay. You know, I got lost a little control here.
I guess I should say the video yearbook on YouTube. We don't even make DVDs anymore, do we? But you know what I mean. Like like when they chronicle this season,
yeah.
And the Phillies end this thing with a parade, and they're going through like each player and their contribution.
That's going to be his. That's going to be his shining moment.
Yeah, Schwarber broke the record for most leadoff home runs. Trey was red hot for a month. You know, blah blah blah, all the way down the line. Zach Wheeler was a Cy Young finalist and all that. And then they'll get to Taiwan, right? And it started off poorly, but how did he win everyone back over? When he plunked a Ray in September. To avenge his teammate. Like, that's good teammate behavior.
I mean, I hear you. But again, like, I've given you a couple examples of why Taiwan Walker is probably, it would not be considered one of the best teammates.
So, I actually, I will give him credit. A couple weeks ago, remember when he was getting smashed around by the Blue Jays?
Mm-hmm.
He volunteered to keep pitching, like, inning after inning.
Trying to save the bullpen?
Yeah, I guess the Astros that hit him around. Yeah, he wanted mm-hmm. to save the bullpen. I think that he's, this is a new Taiwan, Hugh. And tonight,
okay,
he could be the guy.
I hear you. I mean, since you put it in that light, okay, I hear you.
Plus, I think you can avoid any serious injury to a Ray because he only throws like 92 miles an hour.
So it's not going to be that hard.
It's not like it would be 100 or anything. All right, 215-592-9494. Let's hear from Donovan McNabb. Donovan, on with the afternoon show yesterday. Here was his assessment of Jalen Hurts in week one.
I think Jalen, he can tell you himself, there are a lot of throws that he would love to have back. Too many turnovers. Quarterbacks that are exchanged. Trying to be somewhat of the hero, trying to make the miraculous play instead of just making the easy play. And for a quarterback, we all kind of get caught up in that situation when the game is going. But I think for Jalen, it will be an opportunity for him to sit and learn from it and know what he actually has and now can kind of clean it up as we go forward.
That was interesting, Hugh, from Donovan there on the basically saying too much hero ball. Like he's trying too much to do too much when he doesn't have to do that much.
Yeah, it's one of those things, man, where he has to get, again, just like I said about Bryce Huff, he has to find his comfort, his sweet spot. Because like I've been saying all offseason, Jalen doesn't have to do a whole lot for this offense to be successful. Just play within themselves. I know there's been a lot of speculation. Carla called in earlier and was talking about, you know, him reading defenses or things of that nature. That I feel like that remains to be seen. And when I look at Jalen's numbers as a quarterback, he's progressively gotten better every year, save the turnovers, which have escalated over the years because he throws the ball a lot more. You have to let your playmakers make plays. Put the ball in the hand of your playmakers and let them do the job. Again, I still feel strongly that the reason why the game went the way that it did last week was because of the way it started. And when Saquon Barkley slipped, that kind of threw everything in a tizzy because now you got the Green Bay Packers knocking on your front door like right away, like early when the game started. So this week coming up, playing against the Falcons, I want to see, number one, you can't make some of the decisions that you made Friday night. Can't have those. Can't play for, I guess, to coin the phrase, hero ball. You can't play hero ball. And you can't put the ball, well, I guess if you're not playing hero ball, you're not putting the ball in harm's way. No turnovers. And I want to see this defense play a lot sounder. They played decent, but I want to see them tighten up that running game because guess what the Falcons are going to do? They're going to run the ball.
With Bijan, they're going to run the ball.
They're going to look at that damn near 200 yards that you gave up against the Green Bay Packers and say, oh, we got a guy. And they're going to feed the beast, especially when you talk about the fact that T.J. Watt teed off on your offensive line last week because you have to have a tail. They're going to feed the running back this week and try to give him some help.
Yeah, they are. You know, Kyle, you know what's ironic about the Hurts thing? It's flipped from when he came in the league. When he came in the league, there were questions about him physically, but none about his intangibles or how smart he was, how he took care of the football. Now he's become a better thrower. He throws a nicer ball, but now all we're questioning is the intangibles and his on-field decision-making.
The only physical question we have with Jalen is whether or not he's still...
A runner.
Yeah.
A real runner.
Yeah, I think like everybody has either... I don't know if he's proven everybody wrong about like his arm talent, or I think everybody just sort of resigned to what it is. It's a matter of can he make the right decisions knowing his limitations in that aspect. We do have to remember, though, guys, two things. He did make history by being the first quarterback to win in Brazil.
We did learn that, yeah. Yesterday.
And there's only one Jesus. So
I thought we was leaving Jesus alone. that was a consistency yesterday. I thought we was backing off of that one.
But facts are facts, right?
Yeah, I guess you're right.
Just the one famous one.
We just got to make sure.
That's it. I leave that alone after that one. But that was funny.
And there is only one Hassan Reddick. I'd like to bring him back here, too, as well. Let's go to Steve in Trenton. What's up, Steve?
Hey, Joe. How you guys doing this morning?
What's up, buddy? What are you feeling?
I'm feeling like with the Hassan Reddick thing, I'll start with that. It reminds me a little bit of James Harden when he was asking for that long-term contract and everybody knew he only had a couple years left. He's trying to get paid for 4 years when he can only play 1 year well. And I still wouldn't bring him back just because of the money. It's going to bring us down for years investing all that money. And on the Phillies thing, absolutely, yes, I think they should hit him. I mean, these guys... I don't know the stats on baseball, how often dudes get hit, but it seems like we're getting hit constantly recently. And I mean, it's Philly. Like, if anybody's going to hit anyone, you'd think it'd be us. And I don't know. I'm surprised. I thought I might have even seen it last night, but if I were them tonight, I would throw three pitches way out of the zone, then plunk the guy.
Well, and Rob, they could do it. I mean, it's the last game of the series. It does sound like a strategy. And Steve, there's a way to do it. Like, I don't want to throw it near anyone's head, but throw it in his back, throw it in his backside, send the message. We're not doing this anymore.
Exactly. And you know what? People don't want to do it because they say they don't do it anymore and it's not a thing. But what happens if, you know, the chance Bryce gets hit in the elbow and it injures him and people go, wow, you know, if we would have hit him 2 weeks ago, maybe we wouldn't get thrown at like this. You know what I mean? Not that it's intentional all the time because it's accidental recently, but these guys are trying to throw it so hard recently, and it gets wild. I would retaliate, yeah.
Yeah, and Steve, we appreciate it. I don't think it's intentional most of the time. Like, Bryce Harper in Toronto last week, remember he got hit on the left elbow, and he had to come out of the game?
And he kind of knew. I think he kind of knew that.
Though. Yeah, I don't think anyone thought it was intentional, but these teams feel like they could throw up and around the Phillies. You know,
so it's the principalities of the situation.
It's the principalities. You respect principalities.
Yeah, I'm petty. Like, you know, like when I feel disrespected, I do, you know.
It sounds like you're thinking about retaliation tonight. I'm trying to
look at the bigger picture. Like, look at the bigger picture. Mm-hmm. You got to look at the bigger picture.
The real Hugh's in there somewhere.
I know.
No, I'm saying you got to look at the bigger picture, man. You can't retaliate.
When you peel away the plant-based butter, it's somewhere.
when the plant-based butter melts away,
the real Hugh Douglas is still around somewhere. He is. Some days I don't know where he is, but we think he's there somewhere.
Plant-based.
Now, do I expect the Phillies to retaliate tonight?
No.
I don't, but boy, I'd love if they did.
They about that action. You know what's funny? Like, this is what I find funny, because most of the people talking about retaliating, they don't even retaliate at work when their boss does something disrespectful. Well, you can't.
But that's different.
Yeah, but it's the same. It's kind of the same thing.
No, it's not.
You kind of retaliate. Or a coworker.
But the race can't fire
like,
the Phillies.
Like, you know what? It's funny. Like, I want one of y'all, like, that has the office refrigerator. Retaliate with that dude that drank your juice. Retaliate there. Do that. Or the guy that ate your sandwich. Since you all for retaliating.
No, but this
have you retaliated with Warren Sapp?
Oh.
Have I? No, it was a different tire. hey, Kyle. I'm starting not to like you anymore.
You got him with that one. Well,
yeah.
You know what?
Hey, yeah, I was trying to get my foot in the door. But I bet you won't do it now.
Not this time he won't.
I bet you he catch this fade. That's what he going to catch.
Listen, we have we've got on good information that Zach Wheeler from time to time will listen to the show on his way in.
Uh-huh.
He's pitching tonight, right?
Yeah.
I haven't asked for much out of Zach Wheeler. I mean, besides.
So you got to ask him to plunk.
Zach, if you're listening, I need a right plunk tonight. We got to even the score again. Not up and in. No head stuff. And no one is going to hurt anybody. But just put in his back. Is that the tone?
You know what though?
Let's go.
I feel like Zach got hands too. So ain't nobody about to run up on Zach.
No.
Because it's always the little skinny kind of dudes that got, you know what I mean? They got that boxing game. So I think he probably got hands.
See? You're starting to come around to the
idea. I'm not saying, but I'm not telling.